Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.
Tim, appreciate you jumping on.
Absolutely.
Swinging by the studio today. So let's jump right into your background. You got an extensive one there in sales and account management. What is your crazy story of getting into the food industry?
You know, it kind of all started back, Jeff. Many years ago, I was in a hood cleaning business with a couple of my buddies. And obviously, at the end of the day, when you're in food service, there's equipment, obviously, that's there, right? And, you know, people need their hoods cleaned. And I got to see a lot of crazy things throughout my day, like, you know, visiting restaurants, you know, schools, universities, Applebee's, McDonald's, behind-the-scenes stuff where when the chef and the full-service team leaves at night, we're the guys behind the scenes,
yep.
Right? So it all kind of started there. And, you know, obviously I had a passion for food. I had a passion for service and then a passion for like equipment, right? I mean, the biggest thing in this industry, doesn't matter if you're in the college university space, restaurant space, B&I space, everyone has equipment and everyone has a need to serve people. Since I was doing hood cleaning, we obviously fulfilled that need, right? Because those hoods need to get cleaned. Otherwise, you're shutting down people's operations, right?
Yeah.
So my crazy story is, I remember back in the day when we were cleaning someone's hood, the actual inside of the hood wasn't cleaned very, very well. And the hood actually came crumbling down only because of the fact there was so much water and buildup in the back.
So
of the
was
hood.
It like the baffles that actually fell? The grate? Like what actually fell
the,
down?
The whole inside where the hood was attached to the actual.
My God.
Yeah. So it dropped. It fell down. And I mean, it just at that point, I'm like, you know, what am I doing with my life? Like, this is great, but it's also dangerous. Definitely fun. You can make a lot of money. So I kind of changed what I was doing and went into a different direction and kind of selling more equipment.
Okay.
And then also, because there's also a need for that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone, I always call equipment like the redheaded stepchild of the food industry. Yeah. You got to have it. You need it. It needs taken care of. But then, you know, people throw as little money usually as possible at it.
Right.
And then hope that it lasts for 20 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy, you know, and in my background, you know, I've obviously been worked for multiple different companies, servicing companies, but also selling equipment and then also solutions that help them, like in the back of the house kitchen, right? It's all about obviously helping the back of the house kitchen, helping chefs that also help the front of the house. So those solutions work really, 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 really well. And my big thing is that, you know, I've had an opportunity to work for many different companies to help provide those particular solutions for them.
Yeah. So now we'll jump ahead. You're at SmartCare. So first, this is a three-parter. Who is SmartCare?
Yep.
What made you decide SmartCare? And then what excites you most about kind of their team, their solutions, and what they provide for food service?
Absolutely. So as I kind of told you a little bit about being in the equipment side of business, right, helping people solutions in their kitchens, SmartCare Equipment Solutions, we're based out of Minnesota. We help our customers with equipment, preventative maintenance, and repair, right? Any particular items that you have from your cold side, could be walk-in coolers, walk-in freezers, reach-in freezers, to your hot side, anything from a combi oven to your pizza oven to any different hot side item, right? And you see a mixture of those particular items in every different space,
yep.
Right? And it's kind of what we do. We want to make sure that we're helping you prevent those equipments from going down in your kitchen today. I mean, it's really what we do, right? We prevent, and then also we repair as well.
Yeah, but the good thing is that you do both sides, cold and hot. I remember when I was in a kitchen, we had team just for hot, just for cold. Dish was its own, so it was this... I got to pick up the phone and call a ton of different people, whereas you all kind of do the entire package, right?
Yeah. So the one thing that's unique about SmartCare Equipment Solutions is our team is designed to basically work on hot and cold side. So we cross train a lot of our technicians. We also have training facilities where we have technicians that are constantly getting trained on new particular items, right? Manufacturers bring out new different products. Like, for example, a combi oven could range anywhere between $40,000 to $60,000. Yeah. Some people don't know how to work on that. And like you just said, you know, if you have a one-stop shop for someone to come and fix your item, you're calling one person to take care of it, right? We do anything from your commercial food service kitchen on the hot side and cold side. And also we do HVAC as well, which is very, very nice. So you can literally use SmartCare as one equipment provider, and it's easier for you, and you know you have one person to call for your tire fix.
Almost like the broadliner of equipment, right? They provide everything in a one-stop shop. You don't have to go putzing around and play shopkeeper. So what ultimately led you to kind of join SmartCare? And then what excites you for how they operate and function?
Yeah, you know, one thing is obviously being in the restaurant business and like I said, working with many different customer types is where I came from before. I had a lot of mentors and leadership that actually went to SmartCare. And being that I was in the service industry servicing customers, I love the fact that SmartCare is a type of company that you can provide multiple aptitudes of service, right? Not only do we, like we just talked about, preventing, maintenance, repairing, we also, the reason why I joined the team is also not only because of leadership, but the fact is that they have a wide brand, a wide variety of different services that you can have underneath one roof to kind of talk to customers about.
Yeah, makes your job a wee bit easier, right?
Yeah.
You know, how do you tailor your approach then in this space, right? It's a little different because you're providing a service. How do you tailor that when you go to a customer and are trying to show them the benefits? You know, what are those key points? What are you talking about to get the message across? Because I think a lot of operators don't really think about it. They don't think about it until they need it, right? They're never like you said, PM. You'll see a lot of things in the equipment world as PM, preventative maintenance,
right?
Which is, it's kind of like your car. You want to take care of it before the problem happens, and then you dump twice as much money. So kind of what do you do to get those customers to understand, hey, this is something you need some sort of service.
Right. Like everyone has a need for service, because when you have equipment, you want to reach out to someone to do it. Right. The biggest thing for me is, you know, when we're going in, we're not selling right away, Jeff. We actually, when we do sell, we sell the value of the program. Really, there has to be a value and there has to be a need. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so when you're going to meet the customer, you want to identify what the customer is doing today. I mean, because, you know, in the kitchen, you know, customers have challenges, right? What are those challenges? They work with many different types of vendors. Like you said before earlier, you know, they might have to call a vendor for a hot side, and then they have to call a vendor for a cold side. Mm-hmm. But then I also, you know, I'll see with chefs that say, hey, Tim, you know, hey, I'll file a ticket for a cold side item, and it might take 3 or 4 days because they don't have certain technicians to get to them. And it's easier if we can call one person to do that. So we have that mentality of, hey, we can also help you with the service on the hot side and the cold side. Typically, we're there within 24 hours to help you. Wow. We're also a nationwide company. So the one thing that's nice is we have the ability to grow and to adapt, which some smaller service companies can't do that.
Right.
So there's a need there, right? And the value is that, hey, we want to be there to help you obviously keep that equipment up and keep it maintained in the kitchen. And that's a huge part of kind of, you know, the service offerings that we offer. But also, let's say you have a piece of equipment that's broken that can't be repaired and you need a new piece. We can also design and build and get you new equipment. Yeah. So that's really
cool.
So is
there a facility then that you guys fab and do all that?
So we don't typically do that. But for example, let's say you're trying to identify, like for example, let's say you have a Rationale combi oven that you're looking for. And hey, you know, you guys are already repairing these items. We need an order, another one. We can help you with that. So we can give you an estimate for a new piece of equipment. Or for example, you order a new piece of equipment and it's there and your team can't figure out how to get it installed, we can install it for you too. Okay. So not only do we do the service, repair, prevent, we design and also build. So, which is kind of nice. When the building part means that we'll help you figure out what you need get work with the suppliers to get you the right equipment.
Right. So then are you working with any distributors or like for that design piece, are you building the design and then getting that to distribute? Or are you guys distributing and installing as well?
So we basically, most of the stuff that we do, we'll look throughout the market with the multiple connections that we have and work with those distributors or companies that make that equipment and, you know, provide the best possible quote we can for that customer. But we're not actually building. When I mean build is we'll help build out a plan to help you design to get it installed so it works and it's up and running for you.
That's the primary function. Get the thing installed. So I'm assuming that helps with too. I know a lot of folks, I know it was something, it was a big learning curve for me is the electrical, gas or electric. What are the components? What do you need? Is it going to fit from a hood space? I'm assuming that's what that build is to make sure that everything is going to fit in the space and work appropriately.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, just the other day I was working with a customer that said, hey, Tim, I have a Cleveland steamer, right? It's a double Cleveland steamer. And, you know, he said, hey, we're really having some problems. We don't know where to get a new one of them. And I said, hey, I can be of help. Well, the customer came back to me and said, hey, we were able to find one. He goes, but the thing is it got delivered. And I'm like, perfect. He goes, we cannot figure out how to install it. We don't know what to do. We move the other one? We help with that. So we can actually send a technician there to actually do a quote to figure out, hey, we'll get this installed. If you need us to help you move that, we can do that. But at the end of the day, it's just trying to make sure that we take care of that customer. They can outsource their own equipment or they can work with us to us help you with it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we figure out a way to be a one-stop shop to service that customer. So you're not calling multiple people.
Yeah. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Who wants to call multiple people?
Absolutely.
And shop around, quote this, get that.
Yeah.
What would you, if you had to like say like the one thing that's kind of like that competitive advantage that SmartCare has over the marketplace to everyone else?
The biggest thing I think for us is that, you know, being a national company, we've been around for a long, long time. I think the value add is the biggest thing. Like having a customer be able to call one person to handle their issues. I mean, you know, if you got to call someone to handle HVAC, we can do HVAC. We do all that. I think that's the biggest thing that sets us apart is not only being national, we have a lot of partnerships with a lot of food service companies. Which also helps us as well. And being involved in that, I think, is a big stepping stone for us. And we continue to evolve and work with a lot of food service providers, a lot of big national companies. And I think that helps set us apart from other companies as well. But we also have local presence, right? Even though we're national, you know, for example, let's just say Wisconsin, Chicago, some of the markets that I cover, it's good to have local technicians with the local feel, right? These guys live in Wisconsin or they might live in Chicago. So I think that's also a big selling point to a customer. Hey, where are your techs coming from, right? I think having the local presence is a huge part of that business. Even though we're national, we still have a local presence.
Well, and it's going to help that turnaround time. You said 24 hours.
Right.
That's pretty quick. I remember there'd be sometimes like, oh, we can't get a guy out there for 2 days. I'm like, my fridge can't be down for 2 days. Right. What am I supposed to do with all my food? I'm trying to ship from one cooler to the next to get my operation up and running. And then it was, oh, they assessed. And then it was, oh, we got to get some more parts. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm down for an entire week. There's nothing worse than having a cooler down for that long of a period.
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there's obviously going to be challenges in certain areas. But the biggest thing we do is I think we do a good job with communication, right? And you obviously being in the food service industry, I think the hardest part is like, you know, trying to find communication and follow up. So we have a dedicated teams, you know, just not besides sales guys. We actually have field service managers. When we bring on a new account, your account is handed over to a field service manager, and that field service manager, it tends to work with you continuously to grow that business, but also manages our techs. So you are in the know of, like, you know, how we're communicating with you. Are we reaching back out to you in time? You'll know, hey, you know, unfortunately, if there's a part that's on back order, we try to communicate with you.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing in the food service industry is we don't want any piece of equipment left behind, and we try to help with that.
What breaks the most? You don't say, you don't have to say name brands, but just what breaks the most?
I would say the cold side part of the refrigeration is probably the hardest side, because what happens is the cold side's constantly running. Yeah. So when the cold side's constantly running, you seem to have more stuff, that goes down. And the other thing you just mentioned is like, hey, what if you got $60,000 worth of product in a cooler?
Yeah.
Right? That's huge. Now, on your end, Jeff, you and your team have to move that out of there to a different place. And you've been there, right? So it's tough. But I would say, as far as there's so many different types of pieces of equipment, but a lot of the cold side goes down the most. And, all ice machines too. Ice machines obviously are a huge part of things that are constantly going down, and they're constantly being used in a lot of different places.
Yeah, and you got moisture constantly running through. It's always the coils.
Right.
Things always get gunked up. No one cleans them. They don't have a PM program. Right. And then someone's like, oh yeah, your unit's shot because you haven't cleaned this thing in 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing too is the one thing that a lot of customers don't see, because not every company offers, is that preventative maintenance program you talked about, right? Yeah. If you're spending money on a preventative maintenance program, it's going to help you keep your equipment lasting longer, and you have less of a chance of having to spend so much more money on fast fix or break fix repairs. Yeah. But the one thing that's nice with our company is, we fully customize our preventative maintenance program. I mean, if you have 32 pieces of equipment here and you're location, we don't have to do all 32 pieces of equipment, right? We try to go by the OEM that's recommended for equipment. For example, like the cold side, it's recommended that quarterly you try to do a preventative maintenance program. Yeah. On the hot side, you can get away with twice a year, but with us, we give our customers the opportunity to say, hey, what do you want, right? Maybe they want to do it once a year. And that's not a problem. But the thing that's nice is they can customize it to fit their needs. Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of, a huge benefit to them and a huge benefit to us to earn their business and make sure that we're keeping their equipment up and running.
Yeah, customize, communication. Those are all key things. Yep. You mentioned leadership earlier. You've trained quite a few salesmen in your time.
Yeah.
What kind of qualities do you look for high performing sales professionals? And then how do you develop those? You said SmartCare, you really like that leadership. So yep. Maybe talk a little bit about, what you've seen or what you like in that leadership, and then how you then give that to your team.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I think I told you I came over here is I had a lot of leadership from the last couple of years that helped me grow as a salesperson, right? Obviously, you want to be professional in the atmosphere working, but you're constantly learning as a salesperson, right? Many years ago, I would just sell on price. And, a lot of people now with all the things changing and costs going up, price is a huge part of it, but at the end of the day, you want to try to sell value. Yep. So kind of what I look like, when I've trained different salespeople is, you got to learn to slow down a little bit. And also I try to look for people that try to be a good listener. Because at the end of the day, you're not just trying to sell, you want to listen to the customer. You want to try to align to see how we can fit that customer's posi, which is profile, objectives, strategies, and initiatives. Mm. And a lot of customers have that, but when you're as a salesperson, if you're just going in to sell a product right away, you don't really know that customer. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to know if you're a good fit for that particular customer? And I think that's what I've learned throughout the years, and the leadership that I've had throughout the years where I used to be that are here now have kind of engraved that and basically, the sales strategies that they've trained me on, I've kind of brought them over here, and they've brought them over here. So I think it makes it easier on me. And then I also help the younger generation try to be successful as well.
Oh yeah. The younger generation probably everything is so instantaneous, and they want that gratification, right? And realizing sometimes you got to delay that to get the results. And like you said, what's great, I know what I've loved knowing you and again, we met prior to SmartCare, was that it wasn't just a push for sales. It was, here's the value. If it works for you, great. If not, I understand too.
Right.
And then I think that makes a customer feel a lot at ease when they feel like, okay, if I do need something, I can call, because I don't feel like, he was just trying to shove it down my throat. I know many salesmen there, and it's just like, here it is, and here's the price. And then you're just, I don't want to call that person. Even if the service is great, I don't want to deal with that person.
Right. No, I mean, I totally understand. When you bring a new customer on, it's, as a salesperson, you're the first entryway to your company, right? So if I'm coming in to meet with you, Jeff, and I'm selling you a product, a service, or a solution that fits the need for you, the first person you're going to call, Jeff, is you're going to call Tim and say, hey, Tim, you know, you sold it to me, right? Even though I have a team, right. But it's from when I sell it, it's what I do on the back end to get it to the right people to say, hey, Jeff, these are the people that are going to be involved with it. So you don't always have to constantly call me. We want to basically center ourselves to have a team commitment to help you. And I think a lot of salespeople, they forget that. Like, you know, you sell something and at the end of the day, did they provide a handoff packet for Jeff's restaurant? And you want to do that stuff.
Yeah, I hate when you just get handed off and then you call and they're like, I don't know, I sold it to you. I don't deal with that anymore. You need to go talk to these people now. Absolutely. And you're like, well, I don't know these people from a hole in the wall. Why am I, why do I have to contact them? I want to talk to the person who I built a rapport with, who I have a relationship with. So I love that from a leadership standpoint and how, you know, you want to bring that to a younger generation because sales is it's a tough thing. You know, cold calling isn't really, I know people still do it, but I don't think it's as effective anymore. I think there's so much, there's so much communication in today's world that there's so many other ways. And I think we're at a borderline where folks still want connection. You know, at least my generation, it's, you know, as the boomers are out and I'm a millennial. So millennials, you know, and the next generation coming up.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to see that we want that connection. COVID showed, right? Like so much remote can only go so far. And then now it's like we're humans. We want to communicate. We want to be in front of people. And there's just something about, you know, when you get a sit down, especially over a lunch, there's just something about going out to lunch with someone and being able to just shoot the shit. How you doing? How's the family? More than just straight into it of like, I got something new to show you today. It's no, I want to know how you are. How do you, how is your world? And that provides the customer that ease. And they're like, all right, they're human too. And then, all right, now we can talk business. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah. It shows a little bit about, you know, the rapport you build with a customer. And I think we talked a little bit about, you know, the younger generation, but you know, there's the older generation of sales guys too, right? They get locked in their old ways and they do things and it's not always the right way. But like we talked about, like at SmartCare, the leadership team has changed the way we do things. So we're adapted, like we're constantly trained on how to sell to a customer, but it's just not just selling. But you also hit on a good part is like, you know, where you're meeting with a customer or you're going to sit down with them over lunch is also a good way to kind of build that rapport. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too that I love that you talked about was when you're not just selling or cold calling and emailing, things have changed over the last couple of years with COVID, right? You talked about like a lot of the Zoom meetings. You know, some people do their best work in front of people and it's shaking hands and you're making introductions, right? And not just selling, but trying to get to know them. Maybe do the selling on the second or third time you talk to them and not just try to sell your product right away. And I think that's why SmartCare fits that bill is we don't just go and sell right away. We want to identify, hey, is there a need? What are the challenges and things like that? But you're right. A lot of things have changed during COVID and you have like, you know, like you talked about, you have the different generations of people, the younger and the older generations in that mix.
Yeah. So let's look ahead, right? This food and beverage is always evolving, always changing. You know, what kind of trends do you see emerging, you know, just in the space as a whole, right? You're around it and, you know, around equipment, but as a whole, what do you see are some emerging trends? It could be with equipment, could be with food.
You know, the one thing that I've seen a lot of lately, which is crazy, is a lot of ghost kitchens popping up.
Are they popping back up? Yeah. I thought they were dying back down.
No. It's a crazy, crazy mix of ghost kitchens popping up. You're seeing a lot of food halls now in a lot of places. I don't know if you've run into that. I've seen a lot in Minnesota, Indiana.
What do you mean by like a food hall?
So food hall, you'll see, for example, maybe an old building, right? Okay. An old factory building where someone purchases that building. And then what they'll do is they'll basically go out and they'll have like they can basically construct multiple kitchens in multiple spaces. So for example, like in Minnesota, I was at a food hall a little over 2 years ago. I don't remember the name of it, but for example, I think they had like 13 different vendors in this food hall, right? Really? So when you'd walk into the door, you'd see all these different food halls, right? And you have kids, I have kids, right? kids are picky, right? And also adults are too. We want to eat good food, right? Mm-hmm. We love food. You go into this place and you might say, hey, they got a burger place, or they got an Italian place, or they got a Japanese place. So they'll have all these different cultures of food in there. And what's nice about it is when you walk in, you'll go to this register, you'll hand them your credit card, and basically they'll give you a card that has your credit card attached to it. So I can take it and I can go get food here. My wife can get food here. My kids can go to this one. Huh. And when you're done, basically that's how they separate it. So the owner operators can get paid based on this individual card. So you're seeing a lot of that go, but it's very, very interesting to see these food halls. I don't know if you've ran into them.
No, I have. Yeah, I'm very interested. So it's almost the model of like the airport to a degree, right? Those hubs.
Yep.
But rather than individually paying at each one, you can collectively get what you need and then be charged kind of at the end.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. So like, for example, if you're, let's say you have Jeff's Burger Bar at this place. Once you go up, you give Jeff this card. So it's like almost like a white key card, and Jeff scans it. And then at the end of the day, let's say that week or that month, you know how much sales you have on it individually. So I think it's based on like people's rent and volume and sales, but you're seeing a lot of these food halls come up. And also, for example, a lot of the ghost kitchens you'll see, you might see a restaurant. I was in Dallas a couple years ago working with a customer, and he's got a chicken concept.
Okay.
And he has a Mexican concept, and in his concept, he established a chicken concept in his Mexican concept. So when you would go order food, he's got an iPad in the back of his kitchen. He has a separate space where he started another business for this chicken concept, and it's becoming a big thing now these days.
Wait, so he has a. He has a Mexican. I'm trying to understand this. I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Absolutely.
So he's making Mexican food and selling it.
Yep.
But then is he making, he's also doing chicken, like almost like a ghost kitchen chicken, like to go or pick up only?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. It's absolutely crazy what they're doing. And it's just fantastic to see a lot of that. Or you might have, for example, let's say you own a restaurant space, for example, in the back of a kitchen, and you have this extra space. You might lease that space to someone. Someone might not know you're there, but they might be just doing Uber Eats outside of the back of that kitchen, which is crazy. A lot of grocery stores are doing that as well. So for example, you might have a huge grocery store and they have a big space in the back. They might lease that space to you, Jeff, and you might have a concept that you can have out of the back of there, and then you're doing a ghost kitchen out of there, and people are picking up orders for that particular business.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. When you see these ghost kitchens, I've never been in one and I've always wanted to like physically see one. What does the setup look like? Is it like there's walls in between? Because usually it's like a big, you know, like a warehouse type thing, but then they have multiple ghost kitchens in one building.
Yep.
So is there like just like a big wall between with doors? Is it like more, I don't know, open to a degree and there's some sort of separator? And then like how much equipment, or do they just, I don't know, do they make them all the same or do they tailor them out specifically? Like you know, like culinary school, right? You've got a fryer, you've got a flat top, you've got an oven, and it's like, all right, here's what we've got for your space. Or do they do plug and play?
Yeah. So typically, for example, like with a ghost kitchen, you might have a building like so this size. It could be a really large building, right? You wouldn't know that there could be a ghost kitchen two doors down from you. You might not know that, right? The door is usually not open because it might be set for Uber Eats or things like that as an overflow kitchen. But normally what it is that they'll lease the space to someone, and then the people that lease the space will get the commercial kitchen equipment that they want in that space for that. Or there is a lot of there's a company out there, like, the believe it or not, the one of the owners of Uber, believe it or not, a couple years ago, he's in that space right now where he's doing a lot with ghost kitchens. And I have a friend of mine who actually works for him, and his job is to basically, what they're doing is they're buying up buildings all across the nation, right? And that could be in industrial buildings, and then they're buying them and they're actually building and renovating kitchens and spaces like you talked about, where they're basically setting it up, and then they have sales guys that are going out to actually sell to, for example, going to even restaurants like KFC's, the McDonald's, where basically they're so busy and they have so much business with Uber Eats that they can't keep up with those orders.
So it's dedicated just for their
pickup. So they're basically so like if Starbucks is possibly using that too, I heard. They're using, they're having, for example, let's say you get a drink sent to your house or let's say Uber Eats comes in, you don't know if it's coming from the Starbucks store or if it's coming from the ghost kitchen. You have no idea.
That's insane.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, because I knew about Ghost Kitchen because there was we were at the office one day and we were looking at places to eat and there was like some wing thing and I was like, I don't know this wing place where's this wing place? I've never seen it before. And then come to find out, it's out of the back of some Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
That they just do this just wing concept because it's wings and it's like, huh, that makes total sense. An extra avenue, especially with some of the rates that for the pickup stuff that they charge that they gotta make up somehow. I mean, F&B, it's margins are small. They've always been small. What do you see on ventless? Are you seeing more ventless? Just from a greener perspective, are you seeing like kitchens go that route, newer kitchens per se, or when people swap out, or are they still sticking with traditional hoods and your normal equipment?
I think the ventless hoods are becoming popular. But you know, it's also sometimes based on municipalities too. You know, unfortunately hood cleaning, you know, has to get done in different municipalities across the nation, but I am seeing a lot of more, ventless hoods coming, you know, obviously. But I say traditionally I'm seeing a lot more of the normal hoods, obviously in restaurants and certain spaces, depending on the building. But yeah, there is a lot of that I'm seeing.
I know people were swapping out their regular oven and being like, all right, we're going to go. You know, I think Rationale's got like a hoodless vent. I know Unox has got like their Speed Pro. That's hoodless. Like, I think Ovention's got like the pizza oven that's hoodless. So they're just swapping out and going hoodless so they don't have to deal with the hood issues. Just didn't know if you'd seen more of that in the space.
I see some of the, because if it's not underneath the hood and they add more equipment, they're going ventless because of the fact they can add more to their line, right? Because they're doing more in their restaurants and they want more equipment. So I see that once in a while.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Let's go into the weeds and do some rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
Early bird or night owl for maximizing productivity?
I'm an early bird.
Early bird. What's early?
I'm usually up between 5:30 and 6 in the morning. I have kids too, but planning and trying to get kids to school. And then, you know, you got early morning meetings with customers.
Well, you need your half an hour of coffee time. I mean, absolutely. I get up early just so I can have peace for at least 20 minutes to myself have my breakfast, have my coffee, and no peace. And then the chaos can start. So at least it's not in it. All right. Data-driven insights or gut feeling when making decisions?
For me, it's a little bit of both, right? The data, obviously, when you're working with a customer and you're meeting them and you see once you gain, the knowledge, but also gain the insights and the data from the customer, you put that together. So I use a little bit of both, you know, but I would say right now more on the data side.
On the data side?
Yeah.
Delivery or pickup when, deciding, you know, are you one of those, I'm going to order a pizza and go pick it up, or are you going to have it delivered?
I would say I usually go pick it up.
Go pick it up?
Yeah.
Avoid that delivery fee?
Yeah, that's just the delivery fee where I live, believe it or not. Yeah. Unfortunately, in the area that I live, no one will comes to me.
Really?
So yeah, I'm in the country, and you know it sucks when you get you're past the border, so I have no choice. I mean, if I'm going to go pick up Chinese food, I got to drive 25 minutes. If I want to get a pizza,
brutal,
I got to
go.
You know, so we've learned to there is a couple old school bars down the road from our house, so we can jump on our UTV and drive our kids down there, and it's kind of cool. So normally I'll do that, but if we want something, we'll go pick it up.
And then you've traveled all over. Who in the country that you visited or city, who has the best food overall?
I would say I love Dallas.
Okay.
I love barbecue.
All right.
Have some really, really good barbecue. Like I've gone to the Stockyards and I've gone to different places in Dallas, Fort Worth. Obviously, the Stockyards is great. And just having that good barbecue. But also St. Louis is a huge part of where I love to go. I'll be honest, I don't know, I'm a big wing guy. Okay. I love wings, right? I love barbecue, but I love wings. So obviously every Tuesday and Thursday since I was a kid, Tuesdays and Thursdays are known for me to wing nights, right? Before I met my wife, she knew that I would hop on my motorcycle and Tuesdays and Thursdays I'd go for wings. But St. Louis, I just found out, and I don't know if you ever heard this, this is the craziest thing ever. They have, they are known for trashed wings. So I don't know if you've ever heard that before. St. Louis has trashed wings. So what they do with these wing chefs is absolutely crazy. You normally, you can either bake a wing, you can fry a wing. Yeah. So what they do in St. Louis, when you go to a restaurant, they'll say, how do you want your wings? And I used to say, I don't want buffalo wings. Do you want your wings trash? I'm like, never heard that before, but what is trash? Well, they basically in St. Louis, this is super funny. They will take your wing and basically they'll fry it. They take it out of the fryer, they sauce it. And then what they do is they put it back in the fryer and then they sauce it again. So it's like it's double fried with the sauces like embedded into it. So they call it a trashed wing. So it's like your wing is being, you know, normally people put the wing in the fryer, they take it out, they sauce it, and then they give it to the customer.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do it that way there. They basically, if you want it trashed, like I said, they will fry your wing, sauce the wing, put it back in the fryer. So the sauce is getting embedded and they take it out and sauce is going to give it to you. And I'm like, I'll be honest, if you haven't had it, you got to go to St. Louis and try it.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Those fryers have to be trashed.
You know, there's
no way that is good for oil.
They do a lot of oil in St. Louis. I've sold obviously as I traveled, but it's a big thing. I actually have a guy from my team. He's like, you guys don't do wings good there, because he's also from St. Louis. Huh. And when I worked with another guy, he introduced it to me. So absolutely funny, but crazy. And it's when I tell people that, I mentioned a guy, he's like, yeah, I know all about St. Louis trashed wings. Super funny. But St. Louis for wings, also they have good barbecue. And then Texas is also really good. Those are my two favorite things to eat.
Yeah.
You know, so,
love it. Yeah. Awesome. Tim, where does everyone go if they want to learn more about SmartCare, what you all do? Where can they go?
Yeah, actually, they can go to www.smartcaresolutions.com, and that'll give them a link to our website. And then they can obviously go through there to obviously submit some help, and then it'll go to our marketing team. And actually, any of the leads that we get go to our local field service team, and then usually within 24 hours, one of our guys will just reach out to that customer.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll throw that in the show notes at the bottom. Also put your contact info.
Yeah.
If you're in the Chicago, you do Illinois, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I cover, in my territory, I actually cover Wisconsin, Chicago, and I go in a little bit of Indiana.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So if you're in that area, also put Tim's info. If you want to know more, he's just fun to hang out with, period, and have a lunch. So if you're ever in that market and need some service, you got to hit up Tim. So until the next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.